Good morning. On a Monday morning, we're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. We start another week and somewhat of a cloud after the attacks in Paris on Friday, which have cast a shadow over not only the world, but the Group of 20 summit, which opened yesterday. We see people rallying all around the world, including in our region and in New York City. The police commissioner, Mr. Bratton, says the city has the best anti-terrorism forces in the U.S. with thousands of well-armed security personnel at the ready. Certainly, the move is on to get the perpetrators of the attacks. Obviously, tragic, horrific. And as we were just talking about, it can happen anywhere, including here.
It can, and it will. I think everybody is honest about that. You hear the British Prime Minister, you hear the French saying, look, we've just got to buckle down here and make sure that each of the security services is well-funded, that we know what we're doing. Look, it's at times like these that civil liberties start to get marginalized. People demand their safety, and they are expecting their government to provide it. Obama, the president, has made it clear that as of now, we are not going to get hauled into boots on the ground in Syria, because that's the way all of these start. It may be the sinking of the Lusitania. It may be any of the kinds of things that drag people into wars for which they are always sorry. Nevertheless, with the technology that we have now, the planes that we have, the satellites that we have, a good deal of this can be done in a different way. And there will be people who say you can't do that because of the civilian casualties. Well, you know, those are the kinds of equations that get set up as people make evaluations as to whether or not this is the right thing to be doing. Obviously, there will be civilians who are killed as a result of this. Nevertheless, countries believe they have a right to defend themselves, and sometimes these terrible tragedies occur as a result of these decisions.
From that to the democratic debates being taken over by this subject and questions about what to do.
Look, I have great admiration for Bernie Sanders, but this is exactly the kind of time that strong-willed rhetoric prevails. You take a look in France and you see Madame Le Pen doing so well because people are just saying, we don't want to let anybody into this country who is going to provide shelter to terrorists. So it may take one person, which will stop the Justice for Migrants movement from occurring. Look, this is really terrible. So Bernie Sanders may be saying, look, by your voting to go into Iraq, and he did say that about Mrs. Clinton, you have provided an opening to this to happen. And that may be true. Nevertheless, I don't think people have much stomach for it. They want to say, look, these people did bad things. They cut people's heads off. They murdered. They blew people up. And they must be dealt with. That, I think, is where it comes down to these discussions between Mrs. Clinton and Bernie Sanders.
Finally, Alan, another trial begins. The second leader caught up in corruption along with his son. That's Dean Skelos, the former Senate Majority Leader, Republican, and his son Adam Skelos. That trial starts today in New York City, along with Sheldon Silver's trial at the same time.
Well, if Preparar has achieved one thing, he has taken off the manhole cover and allowed everybody to see the stink. I don't think that anybody really had any question as to how it's done. But when you see the kinds of things that we are seeing as a result of these trials, one coming, one in session, you have a sense of just how bad things were and are. Nothing has really changed, and that is the point. Speaker Hastie, I've been calling Boss Hastie for a long time, is now being called Boss Hastie in the newspapers. That's because he's taking money that has been raised for the party to help incumbents who will vote for him as a result of this action. Of course, if an incumbent loses and a new person gets in, he's got an enemy. But what you see is nothing has really changed in terms of the way that business is done. And in the end, the people in the party, the so-called called good politicians, the one who would never steal in others, but who put up with bosses who will, they're going to be held accountable, and they should be held accountable. Finally, the real question in the Skelos trial is whether or not it is against the law to be stupid. I think Adam Skelos and some of his rhetoric that comes from the tapes, his conversations with his father, prove that he is not the most intelligent fellow in the world. Nevertheless, whether that's a crime is another story.